Golf equipment companies are flourishing during the pandemic, with the club and ball market specifically generating almost $2.9 billion annually. Today, we're going to talk with one of the top players in this space about what they're doing to maximize that growth boom and what trends they're seeing emerged. So stay tuned. This is The Business of Golf. Welcome back to The Business of Golf. I'm Allison Johnson. I'm here with my co-host, Adam Grubb. And today, we are going to be speaking with Dan Murphy of Bridgestone. He is the CEO, and we're happy to have him here. But before we bring him in, Adam, I'm curious, you know, it's a new start to the season. How are you making your decisions on what brands you buy when it comes to your equipment?
Well, me personally, I typically go with the brands that I've been using in the past. Whether I'm not a brand loyalist when it comes to all of my equipment, I utilize things that I've used in the past that best fit my game. And ironically, Allison, this is not a posturing. Ironically, I do use Bridgestone balls. And so I'm very excited that we have Dan on the program today, Allison, to talk about that specific aspect of golf products.
Fantastic. Well, Dan, thanks for joining us. Adam plays your balls. I've got all kinds of gear from you guys in my garage ready to go for the season. So thanks for joining us.
Well, I knew you guys liked, you were very discerning consumers and liked the best stuff. So I'm not surprised at all.
It fits, doesn't it? Just by the sheer happenstance that I happen to play Bridgestone ball. But no, it's you're right on the money there.
It's a great honor to be on the show. Thank you.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And Adam, you'll be happy to know, I'm sure you already do, that you're in pretty good company when it comes to the golf ball. Bridgestone has representation across all of the tours with Lexi Thompson and Fred Couples, Bryson, Matt Kuchar, and of course, Tiger, as we all know. One of my questions to kick us off, Dan, you know, Bryson is obviously killing it off the tee. And with the talks about rolling back the ball and some of the equipment, I'm just curious what your take is on that, both for the amateur side and the professional side.
On rolling back the ball. Well, you know what we do really, really well is make golf balls. We don't make golf rules. We follow what the USGA does. We've always had a very close relationship with the USGA and the RNA. We're based in Tokyo, so we have a pretty heavy relationship with the RNA directly and then here in the States with the USGA. So we like to stick to what we do the very, very best, and that is to have a great brand, be part of a great company and make good golf balls, but we don't get into the rulemaking business. We're rule followers, not rule makers. So under the current rules in golf, what Bryson's doing and what we do is to maximize performance. And we help Bryson do that. And we're proud of our close relationship with him. If the rules were to change, and I don't know if they will or they won't, I really don't know. We'll operate under that new direction.
Dan, what's the most important thing when you're looking at new design of the golf ball or the next iteration of your product? Is it the pro's responsibility and how they are reacting to the ball, or is it the amateur, the everyday golfer that's out there that's playing your ball? Who's most important in their opinion of the Bridgestone ball?
Emphatically, it's both. We put as much time and effort into the pro golf ball as we do, or into the amateur golf ball as we do into the pro golf ball. For example, one of the things that really makes us different when we're approaching golf ball development is that we're part of Bridgestone Tire and Rubber. And that gives us access to a whole host of technological advantages that maybe some others don't have. And we learn a lot from the tire division. And you think tires, golf balls, what do they have to do with each other? They actually have a lot to do with each other. The way a tire interacts with a road surface, which is a violent high-performance moment, is actually very similar to how a golf ball interacts with a club surface. And so from that, we've learned a lot from them. They do a kind of science called contact science in the tire division. And we've borrowed that and brought it to golf and brought it alive, to answer your question in a long form, sorry. But we brought it to form for our high-end golf balls, the Tour B last year. So contact science for us came to light with a material story. Last year, if you remember, when we launched the Tour B, we talked about having a reactive cover. And a reactive cover was almost like a smart material. It firms up when you hit it hard, so it goes longer off the driver, and it softens up when you hit it with a more moderate swing speed. And that would be great for a wedge. So it's soft when you want it to be and firm when you want it to be. And that really did very well. We launched that in January of 2020. And then this year, to answer your question, we put the same kind of energy in sort of chapter two of the contact science situation with our new E12 contact. An E12 contact is a mid-price golf ball aimed at the amateur golfer, but it's got the same level of science and dedication and R&D that we put into the pro ball. And the way that we've done it is, you know, if you think about, there's two ways to bring to life contact science. One is material, like we talked about with Tour B. The second one is the shape. It's almost like the tread of a tire is important, right? Does it have snow tire kind of tread or summer tire kind of tread? Well, the same thing is true of the dimple pattern on a golf ball, that there's some real strong parallels. And the dimple pattern of the new E12 is such that it has a raised surface in the middle, so it actually contacts the ball with more club surface and more ball come in contact with each other. And so that gives you more energy transfer, more control off your wedges, more distance off your driver. So that's a long story. So the answer is both, pros and amateurs.
So pros and amateurs, and one of the things that you've just launched recently is your new women's ball. So when I started playing, Lady Precept was like the ball to play, right? And that was 20 years ago, 20-something years ago. So why now with a new ball in the women's space? What are you seeing that made you think now is the time for that?
Well, you know, one of the things, I came just after the Lady Precept. I came to the company in 2004, and one of the things that has been a hallmark of who we are and how we define ourselves and how we serve our consumer is we talk about fitting for a golf ball, that there's not a one-size-fits-all solution on golf balls. Just like we don't all play stiff shaft irons, we don't all have size 12 shoes. You know, there's individual needs for individual consumers with individual characteristics. Same thing with your golf ball. And you know, we talked about the Tour B ball at the top of the pyramid. We talked about the E12 contact in the middle. And then we also have a ball that's very much engineered for a ladies' golf swing, with the Bridgestone Precept Lady is what we're calling it. That's a new launch as well. And what that ball is designed to do is react to a moderate swing speed, but it's also designed from a dimple pattern perspective to get up in the air really quick and really easy. And those are things through our consumer research we found is would help women enjoy the game more. And obviously that's the thing. You know, we're so blessed golf is right now, right? We've had so many people come to the game. And most of the industry talk, when I talk to the PGA of America or the PGA Tour or anybody, is how do we keep them? How do we get them to come back? And Bridgestone firmly believes that the way to do that is to make it fun to play golf. And so getting a golf ball that fits your game, we think, is a key component to doing that.
So you've been in this space a long time. You've been at Bridgestone for a while. But are you still surprised, though, at the level of science and ingenuity and engineering that goes into the golf ball construction process?
Well, for us, absolutely. We still see that there's opportunity. Again, with the depth of material science and polymer engineering that we kind of bring to the table, it really differentiates us. If you look at what's going on in golf ball technology, just to toot our own horn for a moment, we're really still developing a better golf ball. We still believe that the engine of the golf ball, the core, the cover, the components of the golf ball can still be improved under the current USGA rules of golf. And we're doing that. Some of our other folks seem to have kind of fallen back to more of a cosmetic solution and calling that technology and advancement. We're still much more about the actual guts of the ball, that we can make the ball better.
So I want to shift gears just a little bit and talk a little bit about your marketing strategy as a company. So 2016 was a big year for you guys. You left the PGA Show, one of the first really big players to leave the huge expo in targeting an audience that way. And you signed on with Tiger, which has been a very successful deal for you to date. you know, I don't want to get into whether or not we think Tiger's coming back or what he's going to do or any of that kind of stuff. But I do want to know, from a brand perspective, that's a tremendous loss and a huge upset to your marketing plan, I'm sure, for this year. So I'm just curious as to, you know, in being a big brand, how hard is it to change your strategy quickly? And what does that look like?
Well, you're asking for a behind the scenes look. And sometimes when you look behind the scenes, it's like making sausage. It's not as pretty as it could be. I've been here for a long time, but I did leave for a while and the company went in a different direction. And the time that you're referring to was when I was not present at Bridgestone. We did leave the show, which I thought was a big mistake. And the first thing I did was went back to the show in 2019. And then we participated in the 2020 show and then also the virtual show. So anyway, I believe in the PGA show. I think it's really good for a brand of our size, and it's a tremendous value for the money, I think. And so I support the trade show greatly. Now, the other thing that did happen during that time was signing Tiger Woods. And that really was a great thing. Obviously, Tiger Woods is the best player that's ever walked on grass. So why not sign the best? And, you know, it was an easy transition for him. And again, this is a behind the scenes discussion. So it may come as a surprise to some of your consumers that Tiger actually played Bridgestone products throughout most of his career and throughout most of his majors. We did at one time make golf balls for another brand that had a certain logo on it that supplied those golf balls.
I don't know who you're talking about, Dan.
when that certain brand pulled out of the equipment business, it was a very interesting and quite easy transition. Tiger tested everything on the market. We know that. And he's a real gearhead and loves to do that. But he was most familiar, shall I say, with his Bridgestone product. And it was an easy transition for him. And it was great for us to kind of get that direct notoriety or respect of having his golf ball. So it's a little story for you.
So
there.
Dan, that's a great point, that there needs to be some respectability, notoriety, but there needs to be some trust. And there's a lot of new golf balls that come out throughout the years and that are trying to make a play in that space. Not necessarily maybe for the sticks, but for the hacks or for those beginners. There's a very interesting landscape in the golf ball world. And until you really go and you look at all of the casings and see how many golf balls are actually out on the market, there's really only three or four that are ever really talked about. Is that because of the marketing spend and the name recognition alone? Or have you guys just been able to get out in front of the golf ball game early?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't spend nearly as much on marketing as some other folks. We put a lot of our energy and time into the ball itself and into the R&D. And I think both the sticks and the hacks out there can appreciate a ball that's right for them and is consistent and has high quality standards and offers really true innovation. So I think from our perspective, we let our product do our talking. We don't have as many, not by a long shot, as many pros that are paid on tour. But the ones that we have, we're very proud of and have a very close relationship with. You know, Tiger and Bryson both, for example, are really into the R&D part of our relationship with them. You know, they're not only sponsored players, they're actually part of the R&D team, both of those guys in particular. Maybe Freddie Couples not so much. I think that sets us apart from some of the other guys.
Well, and having your own tournament on the Champions Tour, how does that help to differentiate you?
Yeah, well, that's in partnership with our parent company, Bridgestone Tire and Rubber. They have a very large facility, a research facility in Akron, Ohio. And, you know, that's the Firestone brand is part of the Bridgestone family. And that's where Firestone originated, was Akron, Ohio. So there's deep, deep local ties from our parent company. And that's one of the reasons they've enjoyed, I don't know, it's something in the neighborhood of 40 years of professional golf being played at Firestone Country Club. And so we're proud to be part of that, both under the WGC timeframe, which ran for 13 years, the Bridgestone WGC Bridgestone Invitational, and now under the Bridgestone Senior Players. So we're very proud of that. It's an opportunity for branding for us as a golf company to have our own tournament. Nobody else has their own tournament. And then it's an opportunity for our entire people to really participate in the local community.
How are you guys working with the young players and the up-and-coming players, those that are on either some of the smaller mini tours or that are in high school or the youth? You know, how are you working with local clubs? How are you guys at Bridgestone looking to help grow the game and continue the success that golf is seeing right now?
Well, we're involved with a lot of high school programs, a lot of college programs, and a lot of young guys coming up that have chosen to play the ball. And I'd say the way that we feel like we contribute to the growth of the game and to the youth movement in the game is with education. And hearkening back to some of the comments I had before, you know, all those players are individuals. Some have high swing speeds with high spin characteristics. Some have low swing speeds with low spin characteristics, or a mix of those two. And our thought is maximizing their performance is the best way to serve them, to keep them interested in the game. And you do that, we think, through proper fitting and proper choice of a golf ball that's right for you. We really think you can really hurt yourself if you just kind of listen to just marketing spiel and you just play what the pros play. We think it's very important to get what's right for you.
So leave us with a thought on how can people figure out what the right ball for them is.
Well, I mean, I'll do the shameless plug of the website, right? BridgestoneGolf.com. We've got several different ways to get fit for your golf ball. One is sort of a top line questionnaire. Another method is to input your fitting data. If you've been fit for clubs, we can take that data and use it to fit you for a golf ball. And then the third and most involved is something we call VFit, where you can take your phone, your iPhone or whatever kind of phone you have, and film your swing and send it into us. And we have some technology and some software that will actually allow us to see your launch rate, your ball speed, your spin rates, and all that sort of thing, and be able to fit you remotely. So, and then most interesting probably and most in-depth is we still ball fit around the country. We have teams of guys go around the country, and the season's heating up. So our website will contain some sites and dates of when ball fitting will be coming to your hometown.
Allison, I want to follow up on that real quick, because that ball fitting process, and forgive me, Dan, but it if you've never been through it, it sounds ridiculous, right? It sounds like, wait, hold on, let me make sure I understand. I'm going to hit a ball and you're going to tell me just based upon these factors. But it's a legitimate business angle for ball companies out there. But it does work. And depending on the type of player you are, it can have a direct effect on your game just by the sheer ability to match your swing and your speed and your ability on the course with the right ball. People are spending thousands of dollars on their clubs, thousands of dollars on training and instruction and all that. Why would somebody want to or need to do the ball fitting if they're doing all those other things?
Why would they? Well, because the ball is the one piece of equipment you use on every shot.
Thank you. That was the answer. Dan, it was a test. That was a test for you, and you passed. You're exactly right. That's the only thing that's consistent every single time is that ball. And until you go through the ball fitting process and you realize, oh, wow, there is some real science here and there's some real ingenuity behind this decision. It's a really cool process, and I would tell you to go to take advantage of all those tools that you have. Even the virtual tools are really, really cool. Just to have that experience would be awesome. So kudos to you guys for bringing all of that to golfers all over the place, because it's a necessary tool in a golfer's bag.
Cool. Well, thank you for pulling me along on that one. I appreciate that.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for joining us. We know you have a ton of things going on. It's a pretty busy time of the year for you. So have a great season, and thank you. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you. I'm on the way back to the factory now to go make some more golf balls.
So fantastic.
Keep the supply coming.
Thank you, Dan.
Please do.
Cheers. Thank you.
So, Adam, I mean, really, we could have 7 different shows just based off what they're doing alone in the space, which is mind-boggling.
It is. And it's just so cool to hear how much they – they put into their research and their development. And until you have seen that process or you know somebody that is in the golf ball business, you don't realize how important and how vital it is, but also how much time and effort is spent in really bringing the best product to market that they can. And they've done an incredible job over the years of becoming a major player in that space and taking some of the 10,000 pound gorillas market share, which I can only assume was a tall order over the last 20 years or so. But just a great guy, but a great company all in all.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we've had these conversations and they've evolved since we started the show together, you know, one of the things with my marketing geek hat on that was really interesting to hear was just about how authentic that relationship is with Tiger. And that's something we've talked about since I was on the Stick and Hack show with you, is the authenticity behind these partnerships is so important. And it really makes the whole deal works so much better when there is that true relationship and respect for a brand and the athlete at the other end.
Yeah, it's not just a, hey, we'll pay you to play our golf ball relationship at all. And I'm sure even in those, and he alluded to it a little bit when it comes to some of the mini tours and some of the unknown players that are coming up, that's a relationship that could last for 20 years or so in their career. And to find a manufacturer and a partner like Bridgestone early on in your career is probably vital for the success of a lot of those players. So Dan Murphy, CEO of Bridgestone Golf, what an incredible guest, Allison. Thanks for bringing him to the business of golf.
Hey, another great conversation here at the Stick and Hack Network, and can't wait to see what's on the plate for next week.